Have we discussed my position on snakes? I don't like them, not even a little bit. I know what you're thinking. Most snakes in the Texas Panhandle are harmless, including your bull snakes, your coach whips, your hog noses, your racers, and your gardening snakes. Only the rattlesnake is dangerous. Ha! Huh. Don't tell me about bull snakes being harmless. Try to play with one sometime and see what happens. I tried it once, and you know what he did? He coiled up, hissed, and struck me on the nose. They are the most ill-tempered, unfriendly snakes on the ranch. And the fact that you won't die from their bite doesn't make getting bitten any fun. No, sir. I've got no use for a snake of any kind. And by George, if those were snakes out there, slithering through the grass and weeds and coming in my direction, I was fixing to... Wait a minute. Hold everything. Halt. You thought those were snakes? Ha ha. Not at all. And do you know why? You forgot a very crucial piece of evidence. Snakes might hiss, but they don't mew. And here comes the real shocker. Do you know what kind of animal, vegetable, or mineral says mew? You'll be shocked, stunned, surprised, and even embarrassed that you missed this piece of the puzzle, because it just happened to fit with some information we had already gathered in this case. Are you ready? Hang on. Kittens. Baby kittens. Young cats. No snakes at all. None. What a relief, huh? See, what you forgot was that earlier in the day, we had uncovered and exposed a stray cat amongst the hay bales. And this same stray cat had kittens. Are you getting it now? I know. It's a little tough keeping track of all the clues and evidence that comes flying at us from all directions, but... Where were we? Oh, yes, kittens. The weeds were alive with mewing kittens. And as we tracked their every movement through data control, we began to see a pattern emerging. They appeared to be heading towards me. Great. There I was on night guard, trying to protect our ranch's supply of winter fodage. Forage, fodder. I was so-forthing the so-forth, and I was about to be joined by a herd of squeaking cats. I needed that, and also three ringworms and a toothache. And another mackerel sandwich, excuse me. Or to put it another way, the last thing I needed was a bunch of homeless, vagabond, yowling kittens. I watered and witched. I waited and watched, shall we say, as the trails of quivering weed tops continued to move in my direction, and as the sounds of their mewing came closer. My ears were perked and fully alert. My eyes darted from weed to weed, and I noticed that my lip on the left side of my... well, mouth, of course, where else would you find a lip, was beginning to rise into a snarl. When the urchins popped out of the weeds, I would be ready for them. They popped out of the weeds. Two of them. Three. Four. They kept popping out of the... Five. Six. Good grief. This was turning into a convention of unwanted urchin cats. They stared up at me. I glared back. They mewed. I snarled back. They were trying to look cute, you know, with their big smoky eyes and their little kitty faces and all that other stuff that cats use to weasel their way into the lives of others. But I wasn't fooled, not for a minute. I had been to school on cats, and I knew all their tricks, backwards and forwards. Anyways, they mewed and tried to melt my heart with their so-called cuteness, and it didn't work. I stuck my nose right into the middle of them. Go home. Get a job. Chase a mouse. I don't like you. Do you think they took a hint? Of course not. Cats don't take hints. Tell them, go away, I don't like you, and they think that means, oh, goody, a bunch of kitties, and will you please start rubbing on my legs and sticking your spiky little claws into my feet? That's just what they did. They were like, I don't know what, ants, flies. They gave me the creeps. It was time to go to sterner measures. I barked. Listen, you little brats. Go away and leave me alone. This is a security zone, and I have a job to do. If I want company, I'll call you. But don't hold your breath. Now scram. Scat. They mewed and gave me pitiful looks and kept up their cuteness routine. Okay, I'd given them fair warning. It was time to roll out my song about cats. Have we ever done it before? Maybe not. Here's how it went. Now gather around, you kitties and kids. It's time for your cat education. I'll tell you the truth, the unvarnished truth, without tact or mere speculation. There's a principle here I want you to know. I assume that your mama forgot to tell you the story of kitties and dogs, so I'll tell you it, like it or not. The fact that you're here, the fact that you're mewing, the fact you've invaded my space, all tell me that you just don't get it at all, and you're not comprehending your place. So let me be blunt, go straight to the point. Little darlings, you've got it all wrong. You're cats, I'm a dog. Do you know what that means? It means that you'd better move on. It's dangerous here, I want you to know. I'm not what you want me to be. A kindly old grandpa, an uncle or friend, who'll take you up on his knee. I'm mean and I'm gripey, too set in my ways to be nice to a gaggle of brats. But the bottomest line I can tell you, my dears, is I don't like cats. I know that you're cute, little bundles of fur, you've only just started to grow. But give you 6 months of mooching my scraps and your true catenation will show. You'll be fatter than Pete and twice as obnoxious, and then you'll be driving me bats. So kindly shove off, go away and get lost, 'cause little kitties will grow into cats. So kindly shove off, go away and get lost, 'cause little kitties will grow into cats. Pretty fine song, huh? You bet it was. Maybe not my very best, but you seldom get the very best from a subject as dreary as cats. But it certainly captured my feelings, and even more important, it worked. Yes, it worked. After listening to my song, all 6 kitties broke into tears and ran back to wherever they had come from. To their mommy, to their house of hay. You probably think I felt like a louse, reducing 6 kittens to tears. Not at all. Part of my job around here involves being firm with cats. You have to keep them humble or they'll try to run the place. If you want to have a nice garden, you have to pull the weeds. That's my last subject on the... Okay, maybe chasing Pete was more fun than making kittens sob and weep, but I didn't feel bad about it. And just to be sure I wasn't tempted to feel bad about it, I pushed it out of my mind, totally and forever. I turned my attention to the peace and crying of the... That is, the peace and quiet of the evening. Yes, it was a beautiful evening. So peaceful and quiet. Quiet, except for all the wailing and moaning that was coming from the haystack. What was the big deal? Why all the noise? Good grief. All I'd done was to sing them a little song and tell them the truth about life. If they couldn't handle the truth, they were just a bunch of little crybabies. I had more important things to do than to worry about Fooey. They weren't my problem, and don't forget that they were stray cats who had moved into our haystack without being invited, and they were trespassing. You know where I stand on the issue of... Uh-oh. Here came Mama. No doubt she would throw a wall-eyed fit and accuse me of terrible crimes and maybe try to claw my face off. Well, she could try, but I had a few tricks for cats like her. She didn't appear very threatening when she walked up to me. I mean, she wasn't humped up or hissing. Her ears weren't lying flat on her head, and her eyes didn't have that wild, crazy look cats get when they're about to turn on their buzzsaw of claws. Maybe it was a trick. I mean, she actually looked humble, if you can believe that. I wasn't sure I believed it. Don't forget, never trust a cat. She stopped several feet in front of me. She raised her chin and spoke in a, well, sort of a trembling voice.
Sir, my children said you told them to leave.
Yes, ma'am. That's the long and short of it.
Were they bothering you?
Yes, ma'am. I must admit that they were.
They said you don't like cats.
That's correct. Nothing personal, and don't get your feelings hurt. We just happen to be on opposite sides of the law, that's all. Her head dropped.
I'm sorry my children bothered you. I know you're an important dog with many things on your mind. But you see, sir...
Her lip trembled, and she turned away.
They're hungry. They're still too young to hunt. And I'm not giving enough milk.
I see. This may be too obvious to mention, ma'am, but I'm not a dairy dog. I don't give milk. Maybe you should be eating better. Then you could give more milk. I mean, you look kind of skinny to me. She started bawling. Okay, you look thin, svelte, lean, gaunt, pleasantly gaunt, so to speak.
No, you had it right the first time. I've become a skinny old hag, but there's never time for me to hunt food. I give everything to my children, and at the end of the day, I'm out of milk and so tired. All I can do is crawl into bed.
Yes, I see. So you've come over here to ask for a handout, right? Free food and maybe a place in the machine shed, right? She stopped crying and stared at me.
No, sir. That's not why I came over here. I came to apologize because my children were bothering you. I'm trying to teach them manners. I'm trying to teach them right from wrong. It's not right that they were disturbing you, and it won't happen again. Good evening, sir.
She turned and walked away. Well, it appeared that I had just scored another moral victory over the cat. But somehow, I didn't feel too proud of myself. Wait a minute. Don't get your tail in a ringer. I wasn't trying to insult you. She stopped.
Yes, but you did.
Okay, Let's say that I was misquoted.
Does that mean you're sorry?
No, it means... Look, lady, don't get too picky. I'm head of ranch security and you're squatting on my ranch. Let's just say that I'm sorry I was misquoted. Her voice was soft but firm.
We may be squatters in your haystack, but we have our pride and we ask for nothing. As soon as the children can travel, we'll be leaving. You weren't misquoted, and you're not sorry you insulted us. Good evening, sir.
She turned to leave again. Wait! Will you just hold your horses? She stopped and looked back at me. I ground my teeth together and prepared to say the most painful words in the language. Okay, I'm sorry. Boy, that hurt. Almost killed me.
Thank you. It's nice of you to say so.
Her gaze went to the rope.
Are you tied up?
Not exactly tied up, ma'am. I've been given a very important assignment. You see, and I told her all about the bull and so forth. She nodded.
Yes, we've seen him. He's huge. I worry that he might harm the children. Do you think he might?
He might think about it, ma'am. But as long as I'm on duty, he won't come back into the stack lot. That's a guarantee. Your kids are safe. Oh, and by the way, if they want to wander over this way, it'll be all right.
May I call you Hank?
Sure, why not? And maybe you have a name too, huh?
Gertie. Good night, Hank. I wish you luck with the bull.
Don't need luck, Gertie. Just brute strength and a brilliant mind. But thanks, and say good night to the kids. She went back to her place in the haystack. I watched until she disappeared in the gathering darkness. She definitely needed a few square meals. She was as skinny as a pencil, but not a bad old gal. For a cat, of course. I had just turned towards the west and Trace, you are cute. I glared at the runt. No, I am not guarding the kitties. I'm not nice, and I don't care that the kitties are cute. I'm guarding the haystack. Oh, how fun. Right. And maybe you'd like to help. Sure, you bet. I love being a guard. Makes me feel important. He plopped down beside me and wrinkled his face into a... Well, he probably thought it was a ferocious expression. And then he tried to growl. It was more of a squeak. Oh, yeah, this is fun. What are we guarding against? The bull, Drover, the same bull that tore down the fence. The lights went out in his head, and his eyes turned into empty holes. Hello? Are you there? All at once he was on his feet, dragging himself around in a circle. Darn the luck! I don't know why this old leg picks the very worst times to go out on me. I was all set to help you and have some fun, but oh, my leg! It's killing me! Forget the leg, Drover, and get into guard formation. You can do this job on three legs. He began backing away. Well, I'd love to stay, Hank. I really would, honest, but I don't think I could stand the pain. It's getting worse by the second. Ignore it, Drover. We all must learn to live with pain. He kept backing away. Yeah, I'll try to live with it, but I think I'll live with it down at the gas tanks. Drover, halt. Come back here immediately, and that's a direct order. Yeah, but you're tied up, and I'd better rush this leg down to my old gunny sack. See you around, Hank, and good luck with the bull. Drover, come back here, you little weenie. You'll pay for this. I'm going to put this in my report. Take care of the kitties. And with that, he vanished into the darkness. One of these days, Drover's gonna pull that leg business once too often and get himself... Oh, well. I would be better off without him. I tried to forget about Drover and turned my gaze back to the southwest. That line of thunderclouds seemed to be moving in our direction, twinkling with flashes of lightning and giving off an occasional grumble of thunder. Well, our grass could use a nice rain, but I could think of better places to be. Suddenly, I found myself staring into the eyes of a bull. I mean, he was right there in front of me, with his nose 6 inches away from my nose. His head was huge and ugly, and there was meanness in his eyes. He spoke.
What are you doing here?
I'm not sure. That is, I was just watching the clouds. Hoping for rain. I'm sure you'll agree that we could use a, well, rain. You know, the grass. no change in his expression.
I'm fixing to take out this fence. You got any objections?
Take out the fence? You mean tear it down?
Yeah.
Well, to be real honest, my partners and I kind of wanted to leave it where it is. You see, it was put there to protect the stack lot, so to speak.
Yeah, but I don't like fences.
I could feel his hot breath on my face. It is an ugly fence, isn't it? I've said that many times, no kidding I have, but as far as tearing it out, I don't think...
I'm fixing to take it out. What about you?
Oh, no, I'll just watch, thanks. He brought his nose even closer to my face. I could smell him now. He smelled huge.
What I'm asking, dumbbell, is do you want me to take you out with the fence, or would you like to move? 'Cause once I get started, I tend to ignore the screams of the wounded.
The screams of the wounded? Gee, you're serious about this, aren't you?
Yeah, I want that hay. Shall we fight about it?
Oh, no, I've always felt that... What would you like for me to do, Mr... What was your name again?
Crash. They call me Crash Bull.
Nice name.
Shut up.
Yes, sir.
Move over and lie down. Don't get in my way. Don't make a peep. Don't move a hair. Maybe I'll leave you a few bites of hay.
Well, thanks a bunch, but dogs don't actually...
Shut up. I'm coming through.
Righto. I got out of the way just in time, sprinted out to the end of my rope, and laid myself flat out on the ground. Crash was well named. You wouldn't believe what an easy job he made of taking out that fence. I mean, he didn't run at it or show much effort at all. He just leaned against it and then walked through it. Over the snap of broken posts and wire, I heard him say,
"Piece of cake, piece of cake."
I watched all this by rolling my eyes. I mean, he had forbidden me from making peeps and moving hairs, but he hadn't said anything about rolling my eyes. So I laid there like a log and tried not to think about what Slim would say in the morning. Oh, brother. I had a feeling that he wouldn't understand. Crash flattened the fence and then gave it the further insult of walking across it. That barbed wire had no more effect on his thick hide than the bite of a flea. With the muscles rippling across his massive shoulders, he lumbered over to the stack and, headed straight towards the bale where Gertie Cat and her family had made their home. Mr. Bull? Crash? Excuse me, but I'd like to point out... His head shot around.
Shut your trap or I'll stomp you all the way to China.
Well, I had tried. Too bad for Gertie Cat. Her home was about to be destroyed, eaten by a monster bull. I could only hope that she would be able to save the family. Gee whiz, if that bull stepped on one of those... But you know what? Life sometimes plays amazing tricks and provides us with very strange twists. Crash probably weighed 2,000 pounds. He was so strong and heavily armored that he could walk through barbed wire. Gertie Cat weighed, 2 pounds, 3 pounds with a full load of milk? A scrawny little cat, in other words, who couldn't have knocked a hole in a wet paper sack. But she had a secret weapon, something no bull in history had ever possessed. She was a mother. That turned out to be a force more powerful than bone and muscle, barbed wire and cedar posts, and even fear. Here's what happened. I witnessed it with my own eyes. Crash Bull lumbered over to the bale of hay, took hold of it with his huge jaws, picked it up, and gave it a shake. Suddenly, out of nowhere, that skinny mother cat came flying out of the darkness, jumped into the middle of Crash's face, and began buzzsawing him with all 4 feet and a mouthful of spikes. And you talk about noise. You never heard such squalling, screaming, screeching, shrieking, hissing, yowling, and growling. That old gal sounded worse than 37 nightmares full of vampires and monsters. Crash Bull was stunned. He didn't know what had taken hold of him. He grunted so loud that I could feel the shockwaves of it. He charged away from the haystack, sending bales flying in all directions and throwing up a cloud of dust and alfalfa leaves. Then he pointed himself to the south, took out that whole side of the fence, and ran for his life, wearing Gertie Cat all over his face, and her still tearing him up with her buzz saws. All I could say was, wow. That was the bravest, toughest, skinny little mother cat I'd ever met. And fellers, she won my respect right there. By the time she got back, I'd already chewed my rope in half and was making plans to move her family into a new home. I know, she was just a cat, and I don't like cats. But there comes a time when a guy is forced to deal with life as it actually happens. Gertie Cat had won my heart. A storm was coming. The bull had destroyed her shack of hay. And by George, we were fixing to move her into the machine shed. I picked up one of the kittens in my enormous jaws. Very carefully, by the way. Which wasn't my usual style, but I'd seen Gertie do it. I picked up the kitten and was heading out of the stack lot when Gertie came walking back. We met. I tried to speak, but I had a mouthful of, well, kitten, so my greeting was a bit garbled. Well, she stopped, sized me up with one quick sweep of her eyes, and addressed me in a quiet tone of voice. Put down my child. What? I just stood there, too shocked to move or speak or do anything. She went on. I know you don't like us and you want us to leave. I know you're big enough to whip me and make it look easy, but Buster, your face'll look like fresh liver. I let the kitten slide out of my mouth. Hey, Gertie, there's a storm coming. Let's get these kids down to the machine shed before it hits. She stared at me.
Are you serious? I thought you hated cats.
Ma'am, could we save the heavy philosophical questions for later? I don't know what I think about cats, to be honest about it, but I know that you're one heck of a mother and you need a warm, dry place for these kids. She started. I couldn't believe it. She started crying.
I'm sorry. I lost my head. I try to be polite to everyone. I hate for my kids to see me this way, but sometimes I just... Oh, I'm a terrible mother.
No, ma'am. You're a wonderful mother. You saw what needed to be done and you did it. You didn't think about it or argue about it. You just went out and... By George, gal... You did thrash that bull. She smiled through her tears.
Yes, I guess I did, but if he came back again, I'd probably faint. I was so scared, I didn't know what else to do.
You did right, and you did well. A rush of damp wind blew over us. Let's get these kids moved. Grab a cat and let's go. I picked up my kitten and made a dash for the machine shed. The wind was swirling and the air was filled with dust when I rounded the southeast corner. There, I ran into... guess who? Drover. He stared at me and stared at the kitten in my mouth. Then he let out a gasp.
Oh my gosh, Hank, what are you doing?
Oh, that's what I heard. Yeah.
I can't understand you. I think you've got a cat in your mouth.
I set the kitten down and faced the runt. I'm transporting a kitten, Drover. Do you mind?
Well, I was afraid you were gonna... But you wouldn't do that, would you?
It's fixing to rain. We're moving the kittens inside.
Oh, heck. You're helping them? Gosh, how sweet. You're helping a poor mother cat and her little babies. That's about the sweetest thing I ever heard, and I think I'll just cry.
Fine, you stand out in the rain and cry. Or maybe you could lend a hand. Go grab a kitten and help us.
Well, you know this old leg of mine, and I bet they don't taste very good, and they might have fleas.
Sometimes... Oh, well. He was worthless. He was born worthless. I picked up my kitten, left Drover to sniffle, and rushed into the machine shed. I dropped kitty number one and went back for another. Gertie and I passed each other, coming and going. We each made three trips, and at last we got the job done. By then, the wind was rattling the tin on the machine shed, and the rain was making a roar on the roof. We found a little pile of gunny sacks near the back of the shed. I fluffed them up with my front paws, and that's where we parked the family. Gertie and I gave each other a smile, and we sat down to rest and enjoy the sounds of the storm. Well, Gertie, it's a little dusty in here, and the gunny sacks don't smell too great, but it's not a bad place to be on a stormy night.
Yes, thank you, Hank. I know this must have been hard for you, helping a family of cats, but we appreciate it, don't we, children?
They all clapped and cheered. It kind of embarrassed me, to tell you the truth, so I changed the subject. Hey, we've got a good supply of co-op dog food in that bowl over there. You and the kids help yourselves. We need to get a little meat on your bones. I mean, any mom who goes around fighting bulls needs to stay in shape. She got a laugh out of that, but then I noticed that her expression grew dark. She seemed to be staring at something near the door. She spoke in a low whisper.
Hank, who is that over there?
Oh, it's probably just Drover. He's my...
It wasn't Drover. It was Pete, staring at us with those weird yellow eyes and twitching the last 2 inches of his tail.
Oh, and you know what else? He had turned on his police siren yowl, and there he sat, staring and yowling. The next thing I knew, Gertie had flattened her ears, raised a strip of hair down her back, and had turned on her own police siren yowl. I darted my eyes from one cat to the other. This wasn't making much sense. Hey, Gertie, I don't know what you're seeing over there, but what I'm looking at is just a cat.
I know, and I don't like him. Who is he?
That's Pete, our local barn cat. He's fat and spoiled and lazy and generally a sourpuss, but probably harmless.
He doesn't want us to stay.
What makes you think so? I mean, you two haven't even met. She broke her concentration long enough to look up at me.
Cats don't have to meet or talk. We're subtle, you know. The angle of an ear, the way we walk, a gaze that lingers, they all say something.
I'll be darned. So, what is Pete saying? Her eyes went back to Pete.
He's jealous. He doesn't want any competition. He thinks this is his ranch, and he wants to keep it that way.
Well, that got my attention. Oh, really? How foolish of him to have such wild thoughts. Maybe I should have a little talk with him. Would that make you feel better?
Much better. I don't trust him around the children.
Let not your heart be troubled. I'll be right back. I lumbered over to Pete. He watched me with hooded eyes, and an odd smirk on his mouth. Evening, Pete. Nice rain, huh?
Who are they, Hanky, and why are they here?
They're friends of mine, Gertie Cat and her 6 kittens. His smile soured.
How nice. 6 whining brats to disrupt our peace and quiet. They'll be leaving soon, I hope.
They'll stay as long as they want. They're my special guests. Is there any particular reason why you're here, yowling and glaring at them? You're making Gertie feel unwanted. His eyes popped open, and he flashed a gleeful smile.
Really? She's very observant, and after she observes me for a couple of hours, I think she'll be ready to leave.
Won't happen, Pete. Sorry.
It'll happen, Hanky. You just wait and see.
He swung his eyes back to Gertie and turned up the volume on his growl. She gathered her kittens around her and cast worried glances in our direction.
See, she's already thinking of moving out. Some cats, such as me, have amazing powers over others.
No kidding.
It's true, Hanky.
Suddenly, his eyes were locked on me, and he was flicking the end of his tail back and forth in the air.
And what works on cats can work on dogs, too. Just watch the end of my tail, Hanky. Back and forth, to and fro. Watch the tail, nice and slow.
I'm feeling sleepy all of a sudden.
You're feeling sleepy, and on the count of 3, you will drift off into a nice, deep sleep, and you won't wake up until tomorrow morning. And you'll never be any the wiser.
Mercy, I can't seem to snark or keep my eyes.
Just let them drift shut, Hanky, as you float away on a big, soft feather bed.
Feathery clouds drifting snarkly amork.
1, 2, 3. You're asleep now. You're out of here, Hanky. You're history.
How could I have fallen asleep? How could I have let down my friend Gertie? How could I have been so dumb as to fall for Pete's sneaky trick of hypnopotamizing me with his tail? Hehe, watch this. My eyes popped open. Nope, didn't work, Pete, sorry. And now you're out of here. I snatched him up in my jaws, and let me tell you, fellers, that was one surprised cat. Heh, trying to pull that watch-the-tail business on the head of ranch security. What a dumbbell. I hauled him to the door, drew back my head, and slung him out into the pouring rain. He landed in a big mud puddle. When his head came up, he looked like a drowned possum. Stay out of the machine shed and leave my friends alone, you selfish, ill-tempered little scorpion. And I hope you enjoy the moisture. Well, what a perfect ending to the day. Throwing my arch enemy, who hates water, by the way, into a mud puddle. I loved it. Holding my head at a triumphant angle, I marched back to Gertie and the kids and received a hero's welcome. Pretty nice ending to the story, huh? Gertie had helped me keep the bull out of the stack lot, and I had provided her family with a home. Yes, I know it was a little confusing. I, a dog who didn't like cats, had come to the rescue of a cat and 6 kittens, and in the process had given the bum's rush to a cat who didn't like cats, while Drover, who did like cats... Oh, well. All I do is tell the stories. It's not my job to explain them. Case closed. No, wait a second. There's one last matter, and you may find this hard to believe. The next morning, Slim rebuilt that whole south fence around the stack lot. And we're talking about new posts and handcrafted post holes, new wire that he actually stretched with wire stretchers, new staples, and a new braced corner. Pretty amazing, huh? I know why he did it. First, when the bull ran away with Gertie wrapped around his face, he vaporized the whole south fence. In other words, even Slim couldn't patch it. And second, the rain softened the ground so much that even a lazy hired hand could dig post holes in it. Slim would never admit that, but we dogs know the truth. Just thought you might be interested. See you around. Case closed.